Well, I want to thank you for your presence here this afternoon. This validates our thesis, our plan, and our hope that by having an afternoon service before supper that more people will be able to stay and join us. Also, it just speaks to how valuable the time is truly that we can worship together. I love ice cream and I love it with you more than anybody else, but the time that we can spend in true fellowship and worship together, so beloved, so thankful for your presence here with us. The arrangement for this afternoon is for Elder Jeb Owen, who hails from Old Colony Line, but is the pastor at Pilgrim's Rest Primitive Baptist Church in Stratton. I could have said this about everybody, but I'm going to say about Brother Jeb. I love this brother. We go way back. And so thankful for all of our friends and loved ones from Bethel Church and from previously Bethel Church and Colony Line, Old McMahon area, to be with us for the meeting. So pray this afternoon that the Lord will bless this time that we have together, bless Brother Jeb, and bless each of us as the Lord, once again, if he'll do it, it is a miracle when he opens up the word of his truth for us and bids us to come in and sup at his table. So that'll be our prayer this afternoon. We haven't throughout the meeting, but I want to go ahead and now mention and the opportunity for people to mention those that we need to lift up in prayer. I know Brother Galen Powell has been through a trial. I want to continue to pray for him. Brother Kevin Powell also in the hospital with an infection, pretty serious infection. I want to pray for the Lord to watch over him. Sister Kim had some treatments. It kind of took her out yesterday and for some of today, but she was able to make it this afternoon, so we're thankful for that. We've got our church members that live in other places that we're thankful that they're able to join us online, but pray that the Lord bless them where they are. All right, and then the many that escape our attention or our thoughtfulness right now, we know the Lord knows each one and what they stand in need of. So we'll trust him to, like always, deliver and answer prayer rather than we can offer it. But still, we want to come before the throne of grace and make our desire to the Lord known. So, Elder James, will you lead us in prayer now?
Our holy and righteous Heavenly Father, Lord, we come bowing before thy almighty throne in heaven. Lord, knowing we have no merit of our own to approach such a great and mighty God, Lord, we come not in that. We come instead in the mighty merit of our Savior Jesus Christ and in his righteousness that we approach thee. Lord, we beg that he intercede at this very time as we bring our feeble words and petitions before our great God. And we ask that you continue at this time to be with this people. We feel so uplifted and so blessed in manifold ways, the ways you have shown us your presence and lifted up our spirits and brought comfort to a weary people in this place. Lord, as our bodies are tired, our souls feel so rested at this time. In this sweet place of rest and refuge, Lord, we have felt our souls nourished by thy word. Through thy spirit, we have seen our great risen Savior high and lifted up. We have seen thee through an eye of faith. We rejoice in these things. We worship such a great and mighty God. Thou art worthy of all our efforts and all our admiration, O Lord. We ask that you continue to be with us at this time. Lord, we ask that you, if you haven't already, fill up Brother Jeb with thy spirit, that he might come boldly to preach the things that speak of our Savior, who is so good and so great. He's always with us, never leaves us or forsakes us. Lord, did we also ask a special blessing on those that have been mentioned this evening and those that we have failed to mention. Lord, grant them miracle working deliverances that only can come from thee. Lord, that as they go through those things, that they know and that they can see thy working hand in their life, and that they can say, as we've heard this day, that surely thou art with them, that they were able to see the miracle and the presence of that great and mighty God that we serve. Lord, we ask that you forgive us in the times and the ways that we fall short and we fail thee. But we lean on thee and we trust in thee, even at this hour. Continue to be with us. Lift us up together as we look into thy word. In Jesus Christ's sweet and holy name, we pray these things. Amen.
Jeremiah 29, verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. That is a very often used and misused verse. Matter of fact, most times a different translation is used, and you'll hear, I know the plans that I have for you. And that's not in Scripture. It never says anything about God's plan. God has a purpose. We make plans, but we all know how our plans work out. But here, he doesn't say plans. He says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. And what I want to do this afternoon, Brother Mark says, you're the only thing standing between them and supper. And Brother Mark said that. I've seen him many a time stand between me and a dinner table, and it didn't bother him at all. But Lord, be our helper. We won't be too long this afternoon. But I want to go back to the and look at the context of this verse. I've read the scripture a few times, but every time you read it, you find something new. And then the other day, I thought of this verse. I said, "Well, I want to get the context of it." And I go and I thought, "Wow, that's awesome." Yeah, so I want to tell you about it. Starting at the beginning of this chapter. Now these are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem unto the residue of the elders which were away captives, and to the priests and to the prophets and to all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had carried away captive from Jerusalem to Babylon. Right there it tells us when this is. He sent this letter. This is a little letter right here that he sent to those that had already been taken. There was several waves of people whenever they entered Babylonian captivity. We sang the song this morning or afternoon or earlier, Babylon has fallen. Well, we'll get to that, I trust. But this is right at the beginning when they're going to that. And he's going to tell them. He said that it explains a little more. And I want to skip over to verse 4. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captives, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon. You know, that is a question that we often face, and we often ask ourselves when something happens. Is this happening because of the Lord? Is he sending this? Or is this just us living in a sin-cursed world? Well, I don't think that it's a mystery when the Lord sends a message. And the Lord was telling them plainly that this, you are suffering this because I'm sending it. You know what happened with them. The children of Israel, how he blessed them. Go read the 78th Psalm. I call it the cliff notes of the children of Israel. It goes through all the Old Testament stuff in one psalm there. He says, I carried you out of Egypt. I delivered you. Then you questioned me over the water. Every step of the way they questioned him. Then he brings them into the land flowing with milk and honey. And they live there. They watch the Lord fight all their battles and win. And then they're doing so good, and then they say, we want a king like all the other nations. And he gives them a king, and you see what kind of king that is. And then you just look at the history, and it's back and forth. Well, the history of Judah and the kings is back and forth. There's some good ones and some bad ones. The kings of Israel were all bad. But the ones in Judah, you can find some good ones like Hezekiah, Asa, Josiah, I believe. And there it says they walked in the way according to their father David. Or some that says they walked not according. And they set up idols and stuff. And it just goes on and back, years and years of this. And finally the Lord has had enough. There is a line in our lives There is a line in disobedience. The Lord is long-suffering. His mercy is new every morning. But there's a line. Thanks be unto God. I have, I'm here. That's what I'll say. Thanks be unto God, I'm here. That the Lord has had mercy on me in my mess ups in life, that he has still afforded me the privilege to be here. But here, he says, you are going to Babylon and I'm the cause. You're the cause, but I'm doing this. It's a punishment. Now, this is going to apply though, even on other things. If we're going through those valleys of Baca in life, that just happened. What did Job do to deserve that? Job was in a sin-cursed world. Now, his miserable comforter friends, they did what men do. They came to him and says, what did you do to deserve this? You must have done something we don't know about. Do you ever have that? Yeah, we think that, don't we? I tell you, things, bad things just happen in this world. But sometimes the Lord sends it. But I want to see what happens when he sends it. And even there's mercy even in the chastisement of our Lord. So he says that, I'm causing this. Then he says in verse 5, build ye houses and dwell in them. And plant gardens and eat the fruit of them. Take ye wives and beget sons and daughters. And take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, that ye may be increased there and not diminished. So what does he tell them? You keep living. You keep building houses. Plant gardens. Eat the fruit of that garden. Have your children marrying. Brothers and sisters, here's the whole. Why? This brother says, this world is no friend of grace. It's not. But you know what? We're in it. We're in this world. And we can't just curl up in some corner and say, I hate this world, I'm not going to do anything. We're in this world, and the Lord Jesus told us to be a shining light in this world. Oh, don't let that just discourage you and say, oh, this world's not a friend of grace, no use. No, I tell you, brothers and sisters, it's afternoon service. Things that come in my mind. You knuckle down, buckle down, do it, do it, do it. Yeah. That's what I know. But anyway, he says build houses. Build houses. Plant gardens. Then he says this after that. And seek the peace of the city. Whether I have caused you to be carried away captives. And pray unto the Lord for it. For in the peace thereof shall ye have peace. All right, I was getting to this a while ago, and I got derailed by my Roger Miller. This world is not a friend of grace, and why? It's because of our actions, man's actions. This world's not a friend of grace, but you know what? The Lord made it a friend. It was good, all good. But when Adam sinned, sin entered into this world. And we are collective in that. We're represented by him. And we verify it daily. And we live in this world. We live in a bondage. I tell you, there's parts of us, our soul and spirit, oh, had I wings, I would fly away and be at rest. Our soul is our spirit is crying, Abba Father. It longs for the day to be released. But here we are. But the Lord told them through this letter, Jeremiah, you build houses. You plant gardens. You eat the fruit of that garden. Even though you're going to be captive in this. You do these things. And then he says, and you seek peace. And I'm here to tell you this afternoon, there's a place where we can seek peace in this world. There's a place where we can find joy in this world. And that's here in the Lord's church. Ye seek peace in the city, whether I have caused you to be carried away captives. And pray unto the Lord for it. For in the peace thereof, ye shall have peace. Even in this punishment they're suffering, the Lord sent them peace. And you know, lots of good things were written. You remember Daniel? Those were struggles, weren't they? Well, that was in this time. I better. Esther's a little after, I think. But it's towards the end of it. But Daniel, look at what happened there. The three Hebrew children whom the king said, Nebuchadnezzar, says, you fall down and worship me or else you'll be thrown into a fiery furnace. There were people at that time, even though they, I think of that. This letter right here. I have no reason not to believe Daniel read this right here. Those three Hebrew children, they were called, I think, presidents. They read this letter right here. You're going to be in a time of unsettled time. You're going to be struggling. You're going to be suffering from this. But he's saying you keep going. You keep building your houses, planting your gardens, eating the fruit thereof, and having children and multiplying, if you will. And you look for that peace, because I'm going to have it there, the Lord is telling you. And think about that. Put yourself in those. After reading the letter, those Hebrew children, Daniel, in Daniel. And the king says, he wasn't a friend of grace. He will be, but that's a whole other sermon. He wasn't a friend of grace, but yet he says, you fall down and worship me. And I love what they said. They didn't say, well, we'll go along to get along. They says, oh, king, we're not careful to answer thee in this matter. But if it be so, our God is able to deliver us from the fiery furnace. And he will deliver us from thy hand, O king. Oh, maybe, just maybe, they were thinking about that letter that Jeremiah wrote to them to tell them to seek peace. And they thought and says, oh, we've been promised that the Lord will be with us in this time. Although we are in a time of captivity and time of bondage, the Lord promised by the words, by the letter of Jeremiah, that he's going to give us peace in this time. And we're not going to change. We're not going to give in. We're not going to just do it just so you leave us alone, because we know that our God, I love it, if it be so, our God is able to deliver us out of thy fiery furnace. But what they said next, because they knew that whatever it is, our God is a deliverer. Oh, brothers and sisters, don't you know that he is a deliverer? Our God is a deliverer. That's in his name. And he says he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king, as we go through these prayer requests. I tell you, there's some that we talk about this cancer or that cancer. We talk about the sister Joy, who has just passed away, I believe, from cancer. It tears us up to see these and our loved ones suffer with these. But the bottom line is, because Jesus Christ's victory on the cross, that their death, he has turned the greatest defeat against man into the greatest victory. And that's when we shall be delivered in this world. Our God is able to deliver us out of thy hand, O King. But he will deliver us out of thy hand, O King. We might burn up in that, but we'll never have to see you again, Nebuchadnezzar. Plot twist, they end up seeing him in heaven. But like I said, that's a different sermon. Oh, he says, but I tell you, brothers and sisters, we can do it. We can get and just down about this world. Down about all things that are going on. But I tell you, I'm not a big fan of the song, but count your blessings. It's a good thing to do. Whenever you get down, you just start thinking about, really numbering those. I think it was it last, I tried to preach on that God daily loadeth us with benefits. Boy, I tell you, you start naming those. You having trouble sleeping at night? Your job bothering you? Something else bothering you? Start going over all the benefits that the Lord blessed you with just today. First one is he put you to sleep and he woke you up. Oh, I tell you. But he says, while you're in this, you keep on and you look for the peace. Seek the peace of the city whither I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto the Lord for it. For in the peace thereof shall ye have peace. That's not natural. It's not natural to be taken away to a foreign country and held captive. What does he say? So, patience. I can't remember it. It's something about patience and joy. Brother Mark can close with that. But in our tribulations, we can have the peace. Joy is not something, you know, it's hard to be happy when you're going through bad things. But you can have joy, because the joy of the Lord is enduring. He says, you seek that peace because you're going to have it. It's there. Then we'll go to verse 10. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. Our bondage, it shall end. By and by. That's, you know, I was thinking that verse with Brother David. Though Baca's vale be dry and the land yield no supply, to a land of corn and wine we'll go on. When you're in Baca, you dig those wells, but you still go on. When you're in hard times in life, look for that peace and go on. Keep going. Keep putting one foot in front of the other. Having done all to stand, stand. That's what he says in Ephesians chapter 6. Having done all to stand, stand, having your loins girt about with the truth. And he goes through the armor of God. Then he says, I'm going to visit you in 70 years. That seems like a long time, but it doesn't seem as long as it used to. Right, Dad? I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. And then he says that, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you. How blessed a thought is that? Kind of reminds me of the end of, I believe, the 40th Psalm. David says, I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh on me. That's another thing I tell folks when I tell them, if you're struggling with something, struggling with anxiety or depression, you stop and think. You think on the one that thinks about you. And that's God of heaven. He thought of us before the world began. He loved you with an everlasting love. He's given you an expected end. Eternally speaking. But I'm here to tell you that he thinks about you every day. He is the good shepherd. The good shepherd will leave the 99 to go after the one that's astray. He's not the good shepherd only eternally speaking. He is the good shepherd every single day. If you're on the mountaintop, he's a good shepherd. If you're in whatever valley, though, if it be Baca or wherever else, he is the good shepherd. And he thinks on you. I know the thoughts that I think towards you. And then he says, this is in the letter that's telling them, you're doing this because you're in trouble. You're in trouble. This is because y'all messed up. But I know the thoughts that I have for you, that I think towards you. And it says, thoughts of what? Thoughts of peace and not evil. You know, that's one of the things of people I talk to. If they're struggling with something, they'll say, I just feel like the Lord is mad at me. I feel so full. The Lord has thoughts of you, and it's thoughts of peace and not evil. And he says, thoughts to give you an expected end. He says, there is a light at the end of this tunnel. But the beautiful thing is, he's with them the whole way. And he's telling them, here's, though you are not going to enjoy the fellowship you once enjoyed, but yet you will still have peace. They're still there. Look for it. Look for it. Dig your well, as Brother Dave was talking about. And this, wow, that 25 minutes went by fast. This verse is kind of, and I never thought of it like this till recently, but there's one of my favorites from the very beginning of really getting into Scripture. This is kind of like, I view it as a sister verse because, you know, I always thought this was, you know, I always applied it eternally, and that's beautiful to apply it eternally. But in the Old Testament, always there's an immediate prophecy that he's talking about. This is deliverance from Babylon.
Right.
And then there's a more spiritual. And, of course, the one I'm thinking of, and I'm going to tell you, I'm building it up, is the same way. Isaiah 46:9. He says, remember the former days of old. For I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done. Saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all of my purpose. And then he says, calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executeth my counsel. You know who that ravenous bird was? He's called Cyrus the Great by history. Cyrus the Great from Persia. That's who the Lord sent to deliver them out of Babylonian captivity. But oh, when I read that Isaiah 46, I didn't see Cyrus. And people say, well, you see, who do you see a ravenous bird? I see the Lord Jesus Christ. He's a ravenous bird. How? I tell you, brothers and sisters, we have sin on us, against us. And what is sin? It's death. And he ate it all up. A ravenous bird. And he says, the man that executeth my counsel from a far country. And then he says, yea, I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I will also do it. I tell you, brothers and sisters, the Lord, timely speaking, has promised he will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You're going to go through ups and downs. You're going to go through times of difficulty. You're going to go through things sometimes of your own doing. I don't even want to count how many of the situations I got into that I put myself into. And sometimes, though, we live in a sin-cursed world and bad things happen. But the Lord has promised he'll never leave us nor forsake us. And he's promised us that deliverance will come. Oh, but it might be like those in the fiery furnace says. He will deliver us out of that. That's an expected end. He has declared the end, it's over here, from the beginning. And from ancient times, the things that are not yet done. The end is declared. And knowing that, there's peace in that. That's the peace to seek. That our Lord is with us. No matter how hard life gets. No matter what valley you're in. We've got to keep going, brothers and sisters. I love that verse in Hebrews 6. Therefore, let us go on unto perfection. We're not going to get perfect here in this world. But I want to grow in the knowledge and grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to be a better disciple than I was yesterday. I want to be a better preacher next year than I am now. Not for my sake, not for my glory, but for the kingdom of heaven's sake. Because who knoweth, Brother Bill, whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this. I'm telling you, I'm going to go to it. Ezra. The deliverance came by Cyrus. And you got Xerxes and Artaxerxes. Isn't it crazy? You start reading the Bible, oh, these people are in the history books. They're real people. Yeah. Isn't that something, Brother Mike? Anyway, they're going to rebuild the temple. You got Nehemiah and Ezra here. The temple and the wall. And they did. Let's see if I can find this now. Ezra chapter 3. I think it's just at the end of it. After they did all this. Verse 11. And they sang. This is at the rededication of the temple. And they sang together by chorus in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord, because He is good. For His mercy endureth forever toward Israel. I was thinking of this a while ago. I never had this thought. Well, let me get to it first. And all the people shouted with a great joy when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. The dedication of the foundation. Then it says, but many of the priests and Levites and chief of the fathers, who were ancient men that had seen the first house, when the foundation of this house was laid before their eyes, wept with a loud voice. And many shouted aloud for joy, so that the people could not discern the noise of the shout of joy from the noise of the weeping of the people. For the people shouted with a loud shout, and the noise was heard afar. You had those. This is what I was getting at. Remember that letter 70 years ago, over 70 years ago, this letter was written. But these men, there were some old ones there. And I love the wisdom in the older population. It's so vital and important to the Lord's church. But these weren't doing right. Because you know what they were saying? And we've heard this. They were crying because it just didn't, it wasn't. They saw the original. This ain't it. It's no good. But yet those that hadn't seen it, they were shouting for joy. Yep. I tell you, brothers and sisters, don't rain on anyone else's parade. Right. You know, it tells us in Ecclesiastes 7, and I'm going to say it in my language, It's not good to say, why are the days better? Why are the good old days? Where are the good old days? We hear that. Why? It's not right to say that these days aren't as good as those days. I tell you, brothers and sisters, we can get depressed, can't we? We can get depressed in our job. We can get depressed in the affairs of this world. But today is the greatest day in the history of the world. Today! Why? Because we're living after the manifestation of Jesus Christ, and we're closer than ever before to the great deliverance that is coming someday. So, let not your heart be troubled, brothers and sisters. I know in this world ye shall have tribulations, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. The old ones were, I was like, y'all read that letter, man. Y'all remember when Jeremiah wrote that letter? This is the day he was telling you about. I will visit you in that day. They said it just doesn't measure up. I tell you, we got to be careful to measure. To measure the blessings of the Lord. Well, you know, that just wasn't, that was not too good. Did the Lord visit you? Did he think on you that day? Yes, he did. We are poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh on me. Jeremiah says at the end of that, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you an expected end. Luke chapter 21, he talks about, I think it's mainly the destruction of Jerusalem, but still we can apply it. He talks about things going on in the world, nations rise against nations, wars, pestilences. He says, when you begin, men's hearts failing them for very fear. But he says, when you begin to see these things come to pass, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. Oh, this world is just so bad. Well, quit looking at it. Look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. But till then, build your houses, plant your gardens, eat the fruit of it, and look for peace, because the Lord's promised to give it.
What a wonderful day we've had in serving the Lord. So thankful for each and every message that we've heard, the song services that we've had, the prayers that have been offered. And once again, this sweet message of comfort, consolation to us. There's a lot of things in Scripture that are just positive. And when something is made clear like that, and not of evil, right? My thoughts of you are of peace and not of evil. If that weren't necessary to say, it wouldn't have been said.
Right.
And the reason why it's necessary to say is because of those few souls that you've heard that feel like the Lord is wroth with them. And I can tell you this, the Lord had reason to be wroth with us, justifiable reason, and He spent it. He spent every bit of that energy that our sin demanded and commanded. He spent it on Jesus Christ, and I couldn't say it better. We live in the best day ever, right? To know of a surety. Now, God doesn't have to live now in this day and see it come to fruition, because He's always known it's true. So it's always been true for God from before, during, after. But for us to live in this time, how the prophets are able to tell us to be able to draw comfort from the Word of God, and what a sweet comfort it's been. If you have a desire to join the church, you'll have that opportunity. We're going to stand and sing. Give one another the right hand of fellowship. All right. How about number 531? Is that a lovely place? 531. And then after we're finished with this service, like we said, we'll have supper. And then everybody can get on the road home. If you can be with us tomorrow, we'd love to have you back with us tomorrow. Wherever you serve the Lord tomorrow, serve Him. Right? That's what He just said. If you're in Babylonian captivity, serve Me. If you're on Bethel's Hill, serve Him. If you're on Squaw Creek, or you're on Pilgrim's Rest, or you're blessed here at Little Vine, we have the sweet liberty to serve God together. So let's sing number 531.